everybody. Cal Banyan, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. If you're watching this video anywhere else except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this video, right down there, there's more text, more links that makes this video all the more valuable. Please pass this information on to your friends who are hypnologists and hypnofixitists who are into hypnofixitology. All right. Hey, as you noticed, I was kind of checking out this National Guild of Hypnotists 24th Annual Convention catalog. I tell you what, for 23 years, they've been putting out the biggest, bestest, most friendliest hypnosis convention in the world, and I'm inviting you to come along. Hey, what I was doing is I was checking out all the fine speakers. I tell you, I'm going to mention some of the people that you just got to see. There is Ron Esslinger. He is the king of pain management. He is a great guy to learn pain management from. Reverend Dr. Scott Giles, he knows everything about how to keep your practice, shall we say, practicable, because he is our legal liaison with the different states and countries around the world to help hypnotists work in a legal manner. Marilyn Gordon, if you are a hypnotherapist who waxes a little bit more metaphysically, you will really enjoy her classes. Let's see, Marx Howell. Now, Marx, he talks about forensic hypnotism, and he's a really great guy. He's probably the best person to learn about how to use hypnosis in a court. See Roy Hunter. Roy Hunter wrote The Art of Hypnosis and The Art of Hypnotherapy, a couple of great books that that I studied a lot when I was new. And he's a well-known speaker and quite popular. There's Beth Kyle. Now, Beth Kyle, she's a five-pather. She's going to be doing some workshops. Jerry F. Kine, of course, you've got to see Jerry Kine. He's kind of our hypno-grandpa, so to speak, and that we're very similar in our approaches. Really come down that Dave Ellman line of work, where we do a lot of age regression type stuff. Laura King. A very popular speaker. She's going to pack her sessions full of information that you can use. Patricia McIsaac, definitely you want to see her. She's a kind of a spiritual gal, but very practical also. Everyone is delighted. I've never heard anything but good things about her talks. Janice Manson, I believe she's a five-pather. Very popular speaker. David Prudhomme, he's a five-pather, and he's a very popular speaker, and he's an up-and-comer. And let's see, who else do I'm sure I'm going to miss. I mean, there's 300 workshops. There's just dozens and dozens of good speakers and people that are, it's worth the trip. Let's see, who else? Oh, if you're interested in learning about stage hypnotism, you want to go the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention, if only to see Jerry Valley and Tommy V. Now, let me tell you why. Because even as hypnotherapists, it really is helpful to know about stage hypnotism, because you will be asked about it. John Weir, another very fun young guy who's up and coming, and heard nothing but good things. So go to the National Guild of Hypnotists. If you would like a copy of this on your computer, I'm sure at ngh.net, they've got a PDF file you can download, and you can get all the different workshops, over 300 workshops. You got to be there. All right. Hey, you know what I'm going to do in this particular video is I'm going to answer some of the questions that have either been sent in or that I've plucked that I thought were interesting questions from some of the Yahoo groups that we supervise. Oh, by the way, did I mention our next NGH certification, Banyan NGH approved certification course, super certification course, is coming up October 31st. Right now, at this moment, I'm in the middle of teaching the most recent course, which started on in July. But the next one coming up November 31st, start off on Halloween, what a great way to go, through November 11th, and you can save on early enrollment. It's one of the best, if not the best, way to get started in the profession. And also, if you can't make it out here, check out our videos that we have for certification. And also, if you're already certified, become a one percenter, best of the best in the profession by what? Taking our 5-Path 2.0 Advanced Hypnotherapy Certification course. All right, today I'm going to talk about dual relationships, keeping clients in regression, and prolonged grief. I think I can squeeze all that stuff in. All right, I got my clipboard. I got my cup of coffee. By the way, once in a while you'll see this cup. I don't think we have any more of them, so don't send any requests. However, we've got a link. I believe it's on the left side here. Actually, it's the right side as you look at it. And you'll see a box with some t-shirts and mugs and stuff like that where we've set up some really cool stuff, t-shirts and mugs and things like that, that are designed to provoke curiosity. I'll talk more about that maybe in the next episode because I really didn't save time for it. But really, a big part of success in hypnosis is just getting a conversation started, and we've got put together some conversation pieces that you can wear that people ask you about hypnosis. All right, here we go. As you notice, this is another Cal-only episode. Meredith and Elron and myself have just been too busy doing hypnosis and hypnotherapy to be able to get together and do our usual co-host thing. So I'm sitting down and doing three quick episodes. Last week's episode, this week's episode, and next week's episode. All right. Let's see. Number one question that I had come in. Not number one importance, just the number one on the top of my list here. I have a question that says, in AR, which means age regression, I've had the client go back to a time and I ask, is it daytime or nighttime, indoors or outdoors, with someone, or are you alone? And then I ask, how old are you? Now, I've talked about this stuff, but just in case this is the first time you ever see one of my videos, when we take someone back, like for example with the time tunneling technique, and we have them become aware of the feeling in their body, like for example in their chest, and then what we do is we will ask, is that feeling familiar or new? If they say it is familiar, then we will say, okay, mentally go into that feeling as if it was a time tunnel to the past. Follow it back until you come out the end of the tunnel, and you come out to the end of the tunnel, it will be one of the very first times you felt that feeling. Now do that now, and when you get there, let me know by saying whether it's daytime or nighttime. So boom, the client says it's daytime or nighttime. And then you ask, are you indoors or outdoors? Are you alone or with someone? And what we're doing there is we're building the gestalt, kind of building the background for what's going on. So that's what this individual is asking about when they say, in AR, I've had the client go back to a time and I ask, is it daytime or nighttime, inside or outside? Are you alone or with someone? And when I ask, how old are you? At times they've stated their current age. How can I restate this question in a way that they know I want the age of their regressed self? Is there a clear way of asking this question? So normally we just go daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone, or with someone, and then we say, what's happening? And they say, what's happening? And then we might say, how old are you? So here you go. If you, there's the Fab Five questions you got to ask at every event. I've talked about them over and over in these podcasts. What's happening? How old are you? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? And is that feeling familiar or new? So one of the first questions we're going to ask after we build the gestalt is we're going to say, what's happening? And if they say, I'm riding my bicycle, then you say, okay, riding your bicycle, how old are you? You see, and when you do that, you're going to have the regressed aspect of the self, okay, of the client respond. But sometimes if you just go, how old are you? Like you go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there, or follow the tunnel back. There you are, daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone or with someone. How old are you? You're not being specific enough that you want to be speaking to the regressed aspect of the self. So when you ask, what's happening? And they say, I'm in the back seat of the car with my dog, Ralphie. Okay, in the back seat of the car with your dog, Ralphie, how old are you? And it's obvious to your client that you're not talking to the adult aspect of them, which is in the chair, with you in the hypnotic state, but you are talking to the part of them who's in the back seat of the car with their dog, Ralphie. So that's another way. Another way it can be stated, and I've written it down here, where this tunnel has taken you. How old are you? Is another way you can do it. Be there at the end of that tunnel as if it was happening all over again. How old are you? Okay. Another way you can do it is there's more than one way to skin a cat, right? That's what we hear. And so there's a lot of ways you can do this. It just has to make sense within the context of what you're doing. So you could say daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone, or with someone. And let's say they say, it's daytime, I'm in my room, alone. Then you can say, okay, inside your room, alone, how old are you? Or how old are you inside your room, alone? See, so these are cues that let the client know what aspect you're speaking to. All right, so that answers the question in regression, how do I get my clients to respond with the age that they are in the regression as opposed to the age they are in the chair? All right. Hey, if you've got questions or comments about anything I mentioned in any of these episodes, right down below this video on calbanion.com, there is a comment section. We love comments. In fact, you know, you see those people in the corner say, they'll hold little signs, we work for food, right? We work for your comments. That's all we ask. Leave a comment. And if you think you can add to something I said, please share your knowledge, your insights with the hypnosis world. If you disagree, heck, I reserve the right to change my mind when confronted with new evidence. So, please leave a comment. Also, you can leave comments on our web page on Facebook. We've got what they used to call a fan page, now it's just like a business page. I don't know what they call them now, but at facebook.com/hypnosis, etc., there's always a conversation going on there about the podcast. And also, if you go there and you like it, then you know what? You can be in on the conversation, and often we talk about stuff off this website over on Facebook. All right, let's see. What's the next one I have? One of our five pathers wrote in and says, I was wondering if having a, I'm kind of paraphrasing, it was a lot longer question. I was kind of wondering if having a meetup for my clients to get together when they are done with hypnotherapy would be a good idea. Several of my clients have expressed a desire to become friends with me. All right. Professionals do not turn their clients into friends. Now, I know this can be tempting because you're going to meet a lot of nice people as you do the work. Because as hypnotherapists, we work with normal everyday people, mentally healthy people, just regular people with normal everyday problems. And you know what? You're going to find some of those people you have stuff in common with, or under different circumstances, you'd love to be friends with them, or under other circumstances, you'd like to date them. All a bad idea. Don't do it. Don't do it. You never want to enter into what's called a dual relationship. That's where you have both a professional relationship and some other kind of relationship, particularly a social relationship with the client. Professionals don't do that. You want to be considered a professional? You want to be a hypnosis professional? Professionals do not turn their clients into friends. And they also don't do hypnotherapy or hypnotism with their friends. It's dual relationship. And I've talked about this before, but you know, the question comes up from time to time. I just want to hammer it home. This is why. When you do hypnosis with a friend, okay, or when you turn a client into hypnosis, dual relationship, right? But we'll talk about two different things that can happen. One, if you do hypnosis with someone who is a friend, there's all kinds of things that you come into the session that have nothing to do with what you're working on. The dynamics of your relationship come into the session and it complicates things. Here's one specific, very important reason why you should not do that. Let's say you're doing age regression with someone. and this is your friend, lifelong friend. And she's come in for, I don't know, nail biting or thumb sucking. And just telling you that she has this problem can make her kind of nervous. She doesn't want to tell you this stuff because you might think badly of her. But then as you do the regression, you find out some naughty little secret that she doesn't want people to know. You see, as you do the regression, let's say that she had, you know, a wicked uncle who had fondled her in some way. And she's always kept that secret. She's always been embarrassed about it. Or this could be also a guy. It doesn't have to be a female. And now after the regression, she feels uncomfortable being around you and doesn't want to see you anymore. And you've lost that friend. That's one reason why we don't do hypnotherapy with our friends. Here's another reason. Clients can always lie or refuse to do the work in hypnosis. And let's say you're going back doing age regression and you're trying to find the ISE and they just won't go there. Or they mislead you in the age regression so that they don't go there, because in their mind, they know that that's going to be a very embarrassing situation. Or in their mind, they're afraid that they're going to cry or get upset, and they don't want to do that in front of you because you're a friend and you have a relationship. And they value your relationship more than getting well. So two things can happen here. One is your client can go to these embarrassing, revealing situations, and it can ruin your relationship. Or rather than ruining your relationship, they don't go and reveal these embarrassing or intimate type details, and then the hypnotherapy fails. So there's two good reasons why you don't do hypnotherapy with friends. Now, you also don't want to take clients and turn them into friends, because this is the stance. It's just ethically not that good of an idea, because as a hypnotherapist, in the relationship you have, in the professional relationship, it's really a one-sided relationship. You know a great deal about them and very little about, they know very little about you. At least that's the way it should be done. And they may have this idyllic type of feeling about you, or sometimes there's transference phenomenon going on, and they may have feelings towards you that are based on not their relationship with you, because you are not, they don't know that much about you except that you listen to their problems and you help them overcome their problems and stuff like that. And so with this in mind, the relationship gets off to a bad start. Another, and is probably going to not work out that well anyway, because you're not going to live up to the expectations that the client has of you, of this idyllic friend who can help them solve their problems. Another problem with these kinds of relationships is that, from a professional standpoint, you have an undue amount or exaggerated amount of influence over this person, because you are the hypnotist. They are suggestible to you, and this can be used in some unsavory kinds of ways, and have been in the past to use influence or to use suggestibility to get favors and that kind of thing. And this isn't just of hypnotists. This is also true of counselors, doctors, psychologists. They tend to have an undue, almost an exaggerated amount of influence over their patients and clients if they then become friends with them. One of the biggest problems, I think, that I'm on the ethics committee of the National Guild of Hypnotists, and so we see, you know, these relationships go wrong, and someone will want to have a relationship, the lonely hypnotist. I mean, just like there's lonely clients, there's plenty of lonely hypnotists, and they meet this person who's under normal circumstances would not have been attracted to them because they're just an average-looking guy or an average-looking gal, and this beautiful or handsome client comes in, and this transference phenomenon can occur where the client can start to feel affection towards you or love towards you or even a sexual attraction towards you. And here's the deal. If you act upon that, that is completely unethical because you have this undue influence over this person. And so there's just a whole gazillion different reasons why you should not get involved with clients, and you should not bring friends in as clients. Avoid dual relationships at all costs. Now, different other professions have rules about this, and for example, I believe at the time I was studying psychology, and you know, I haven't studied psychology as a psychologist type person in a long, long time. But I believe at the time the rules were that if you were to have a relationship with a client, you know, become friends or to start dating or something like that, at least a year. And I know it's a longer period of time now. They've changed it. But at the time, I believe it was 1 year after the end of the intervention that you've been having with the client. And then they say, at that time, things have kind of evened out and it would be okay to then start dating or start having tea or start golfing together or whatever you do. All right. Good. All right. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe the time has been flying along. I've got some more stuff I'm going to be covering. I didn't get to prolonged grief this episode. I'm going to do it next episode. And I've also got, do people have to be in deep hypnosis for age regression and experience emotions? And wanting to help people and being able to help people are two different things sometimes. All right. That's it. Remember to go to hypnosiscenter.com. All my training is there. There's a ton of articles, lots of information. I tell you what, you cannot consume the hypnosiscenter.com website in one visit. There's just too much good stuff there. Go to hypnosis.org. I'll teach you online how to do the Elman-Banya induction and give you all kinds of insider tips, tricks, and techniques for being a better hypnotist right there on video. You know, I like to do videos, and I'll even show you how to hypnotize someone. What else? Facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. That's ETC. That's it. Cal Banyan signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved for private use only. May not be duplicated without written permission.